Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. Let's start out by welcoming everybody, greeting everyone, and do we have any visitors this morning? No visitors? Well, thank all you regulars for coming. Announcements this morning are in your bulletin. There's a few that Larry wanted to make mention of for sure. Do you want to tell them about this?
Can. There's a folder, flyer in your bulletin. It's on the backside of a song that we're going to sing right after the scripture lesson. And I call your attention to the NARF team, challenging you and inviting you to join the NARF team. And 3 equals 1. That means 3 people bring in 1 person. 3 families bring in 1 family. That's just a little crazy challenge that I offer to you. But the whole idea is not so crazy, because somebody might come because of your invitation, hear the gospel, become a believer, and end up in heaven rather than going the other way. So that's the reason behind this. That's the challenge. And if instead of a body bringing a body, 3 of you. Get together, pray about, lift up, and bring 1 at least. Thank you very much. Also, it is, there's an insert about mission work. Probably the mission to that insert. We put them in about 4 times a year. And this is about a new church in Louisville, Kentucky. Also, daily bread devotionals are available. Listen devotionals. If you're here last week, I'm just repeating this. There's a few of these still available if you need it. If you don't get one, you want one. It's a listen calendar for 45 days concerning the miracle of Jesus. A very, seems to me like a good study for getting ready for the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So I call those to your attention.
If anybody would like one of these Lent devotionals, if you'll just raise your hand, Mr. Rippey's in the back, we'll get you one. It's back there, John, beside the chair. I got caught up this morning, a few days behind on the devotional, but very good. Also, we're still asking for some Grace Work store volunteers. See Sonia Haywood to sign up for this. If you have any time whatsoever you could give to Grace Works, would definitely be appreciative. You want to say anything about the flyer? Sorry.
We are working on a musical that we believe will be just the most wonderful blessing to this church, and I've been praying about it. I've been singing this music all week. I've had it in my car. I keep it cranked up. So if you see me driving down the road and I've got my arms lifted up, you might want to honk your horn and make me get back down to earth. But it's really beautiful. But we need your voices. So if anybody is willing to just sing with us, even if you can't come to the rehearsals, we will. I've got some CDs that have the rehearsal tracks on there. So that if you're a soprano, it bangs out the soprano part loudly. If you're a bass, it bangs out the bass loudly for you. So you can learn it on your own and then maybe just come to a couple of rehearsals right before we sing. We're going to sing on Palm Sunday evening. And it's really beautiful. I'd love you to join us. And I promise we'll just have a good time and we'll praise the Lord through this. So thank you.
Susan, is there anything about the youth meeting dinner?
Some people talked about an odor. We do not know where it's coming from. Some people couldn't smell it. Others could. we will look for it this week and try to discover the whereabouts and do something about it.
Yeah.
This is I'm hoping not a personal announcement, but a fellowship announcement. I'm having a championship party next Saturday morning here at the church at 11. I'm going to have invitations, but if you are interested, if no buying is required, but come and fellowship with us. It's usually dinner, but men are not excluded. There will be food, and there's usually a fun fellowship. So 11 o'clock next Saturday. I don't mean to be counterproductive to those who are going to grace work that day.
I need to know who housekeeping job, who is that children's message? Andrew is not here.
Mike Ryan.
Mike, okay, thank you, Mike.
Got it handled a little later. Yes, ma'am. Personal note, on the New Beginnings 2 class, we got out where we just had 3 or 4 members, and we're now back up to about 10, and as Sam can tell you, we have some spirited discussions about the Bible and everything. If you would like to join us, we would love to have you. And it's held in the gym, so the coffee pot's only about 20 feet away, but that's not the reason we're there. But we would like for you to come if you're not presently attending a Sunday school class. Does anyone have anything else in announcements? The rest of it would be in your bulletin. What about prayer and praise requests? Are there?
My mom comes from Africa safely. She had a wonderful trip. She has a CD of herself writing in Tulsa, among other things. But I do need you to pray for her because she has developed an upper respiratory infection, which is probably from somebody on the plane. And she's on antibiotics, but she's pretty sick. Her name's Ellen Crowder. She said that for a 78-year-old woman, it was a strenuous but invigorating trip. 8 countries in 3.5 weeks. She does it again. She's going to go a little bit slower.
At 78, she's doing well. She's doing well. Go ahead, Karen. Jerry Mabry, lung cancer surgeon. Yes. That's Kathy Little, right. Pam's father's been going through some rough times this week. He has been up and down with this multiple myeloma, and he's having a rough time and going in this Monday, I believe, for another lung biopsy. So if you would keep him in prayers, his name is Don Smith. Is there anyone else? Thought I saw. Somewhere, carried. Gary, I trust you're getting most of these. You usually put out the prayer list. If people don't know it, he goes to each Sunday school class. Are there any more? You know, that's what we are here for. We're here to bring people to the Lord. And if we get an opportunity, it's our duty to bring people here to the house of worship. Are there any other prayer or praise requests? Let's pause for a moment for silent prayer and have a lighting of the candles. Shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you would please turn in your hymnals to number 17.
Praise the Lord, Jesus, the together and pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are your servants, and we're honored to be considered worthy to be a servant in your kingdom. Lord, we want to be like the angels who would fall down before you to praise you. So we pray, Lord, that you would remove from us the inhibitions, remove from us the pride and all that keeps us from presenting ourselves before you and worshiping you in truth and in spirit. Lord, thank you that you do love us. Thank you that you sent Jesus to be our Savior. And Lord, what haven't you done for us? Everything that we need for this life and the life that is to come. So we just stand before you as your humble people, praising you. And now we come, O Lord, to pray as your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and put into words that which you believe through the Apostles' Creed.
Most of you know it's number 716 in your hymnal or on the wall behind us.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as was in the beginning,
thank you. You may be seated. In confessing our sin this morning, our call to confession comes from Psalm 38:18. I confess my iniquity, I am troubled by my sin. A prayer of confession is in unison. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves pure when we are stained, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive us sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our assurance of forgiveness from Ephesians 1:7. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Number 101, please.
About in our confession of how we have let pride get in our way. So let's sing that last verse again, that last sentence, bow down before Him. We need to bow down. Give up self. Recognize Him. Thank you.
now time for children's time. If all of you would come forward. Mike Bryan is going to talk to you today. I believe Andrea is traveling.
We'll be sweating, we'll be bandanas.
there is children's church. Just follow Miss Susan. Mike, are you going to children's church? Okay. I knew I drafted you to be an usher. I just want to make sure. By the way, I don't know the little girl's name in the green jacket, but if I'd been up there and you pointed at me, you'd have got this. Good job, Mike. Now's the time for our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Would our ushers come forward, please?
I think the title of that song they did for offertory is Lord of the Dance. Yep, Lord of the Dance is the one is how I know it. But anyway, years ago I went to sing with a singing group to Millersville Assembly of God. Millersville Assembly of God is built similar to our church with two aisles, except it's a holiness church. And we weren't too far along in the service till people started running out that door and in that door and in this door in a loop. We don't worship that way, but it certainly makes you feel good, those little dance songs. And David, King David, danced to the Lord. So we can dance in our hearts. And we can thank Him. Thank Him, as this song says. Thank Him for everything.
Scripture lesson today comes from Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as the dwelling for His name, and say to the priest in office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was wandering in Aramaim and went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before your Lord, the Lord your God, and bow down before Him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You can have an insert in your bulletin with another song. Looks like this. We are an offer.
Offering all that
tithe. We want to talk about tithing today. It's not October, the 10th month, to talk about the 10th. It's the second month. Not even the 10th Sunday in the year. But we want to talk about one aspect of self-denial, and that's the offering. How many know about the offering of the first fruits? The first fruits of your produce. How many offerings do you find in the Old Testament? The offerings to be brought to God. Offering of the first fruits and offering of the harvest fruits. Many, many offerings. Well, if you go to Leviticus and get a Bible that's got little headings over each section, you can just flip through and you can find Leviticus and Numbers. You can find various offerings that are called for there, that the people of God of the Old Testament, back in the Old Testament times, were invited, encouraged to bring. The offering of the tithe of the first fruit. We all like to talk about tithing, don't we? If we're tithers, we do. We're proud that we can be a part of it. If we haven't really got to that point in our lives yet, it may be a little painful, but the Word of God speaks of it, and we need to know the whole Word of God. I have bragged that this congregation didn't preach much stewardship. They were good stewards. But every once in a while, we need to come and talk about why we're doing what we're doing and where does it come from. And even bringing the offerings to the altar. Some congregations I've been in, and they let the people bring the offerings. And then the offering plates. It started out as a basket. Did you see the basket there? And we have exchanged our produce to coins and bring them. And there was a period of time in my memory where the people were told, don't bring crafts to be sold at a bazaar. That's not holy. But you go back and read the Old Testament, and it might have been more holy than that era of preachers were led to believe that it was or thought it was. I hope this morning that you will also go look at Jesus's temptation experiences and the sacrifices that he made. The self-denial that he practiced, in tithing of the first fruits is a form of self-denial. First Sunday of Lent. Lent began Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. It continues through Holy Week. And I'm never sure just what day it ends. Does it end on Friday? Or does it end on Saturday? Or does it end on Sunday? Well, it doesn't matter. We're getting ready to celebrate the Sunday. But we will hopefully be brought to think about and participate in some sort of sacrifice of ourselves, similar to what Christ sacrificed on the cross for us. And it started back in his temptation story 3 years before that event when he was baptized, Luke 3, Matthew 3, the account of it, and then went into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days by Satan. And he resisted every temptation, denying himself some great opportunities. He said no to them. Some things we need to say no to, even some great opportunities, because it looked like an opportunity up front, but it really wasn't such a good opportunity, because he would have been turning his back upon God the Father, who had created him and said, actually, Jesus, could he do this, being God in the flesh? But he was tempted to as an example. Also in Romans 10, chapter 8b and through 13, we're told if we believe in our heart and speak with our mouth about Jesus, that we are saved, that he is the Son of God, he is the Savior, because with the heart one believes and with the mouth one professes. So I invite you to read these. I hope in this sermon I hope in this sermon to inform and challenge concerning the tithe, one aspect of self-denial. The background, Moses is recounting, in Deuteronomy, recounting all that has taken place, basically, on the journey. He recounts the experience to a degree, but in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy through chapter 27 is a rehearsal of the laws that were given at Sinai. Moses went up to the mountain. We talked about it last week. He spoke with God. He had to make two trips up there. He came down and broke all the commandments on the way down. You remember the people had built a golden calf? He came down. He got so angry and so frustrated with them, he threw the tablets down. He went back up and received the commandments from God again. But when he came down, his face glowed. It shined, and the people couldn't stand to look at it, so they had to put a veil on his face, except when he went in again to talk to God. It appeared from that reading that he would go back and forth and go back and talk to God and come back and speak to the people. So Moses is rehearsing the laws given on Mount Sinai. We're here at the near the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is about getting ready to die. Today, being the first Sunday in Lent of 2007, which began Wednesday, a time of preparing to celebrate or to observe the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope the preaching leading up to that, I'm trying to follow the lectionary lesson that will lead us to that point in some kind of organized way as we approach Easter Sunday. Jesus taught that if we would be His disciples or His people, that we should deny ourselves, actually we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow. Here I go again. Got me started and I forget. 39, 40 years of doing something one way and then try to change, it's a little difficult sometimes. So there you are. You have this in your hand anyway. Jesus taught that if we would be His disciples, we should deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow Him. And then He also taught by example. He taught it, but He showed us by example. And go and read Luke chapter 4, the first verses, or Matthew chapter 4, the example of Him being in the wilderness. But we are a society that does not like to think very much about self-denial. How many of us have been called upon and agreed to self-denial any time recently? Have we been called upon? We have everything at our fingertips, like everything that we need. What have we been denied? Not much. Not much. Parents do not want to say no to their children. They don't even want to say wait for their children. And children, we have learned, our generation actually learned it, and we passed it on. Our parents said, I want it better for you than I had. They act like they had it tough. And they provided for us everything that they could possibly provide for us. I heard my mother say it over and over. I want it better for my children than I had it growing up. And then we have wanted to make it better for our children. And then our children are going to make it better for their children and make it so good. We need somewhere to teach some self-denial. It's dangerous to have everything handed to us, friends. We need to step back and say, okay, wait a minute. But the society that we live in, the county we live in, somebody said it was the 11th richest county in the United States. Marion County, California is the first, that's near San Francisco, I think. It's number one. I've heard that during Sunday school hour this morning. What do we need? What do we need that we don't have? What do we want that we don't have? I had 3 computers at my disposal, and I kept wanting another one. And I went and got it. It was my Christmas. I didn't get it until last week, but I went and got it. I have 2 automobiles at my disposal most of the time. I want a pickup truck.
and I'm forcing myself to Jerry, stay away from me. I don't need it. No, and I'm right there with you. You understand what I'm trying to say. We, our society, does not like to think much about self-denial or at all about self-denial, and why should we? It's all there before us. Live. What's that? The man that built the bigger barns? Jesus called him a fool at the end of the day. The congregation, this congregation, you people have a great record of giving. You've had to deny yourself a little bit to give this, because you could have had more for yourself if you hadn't. You're giving to the church, and in turn, the church is giving. And I went and pulled out the annual report, don't know where it all went, just exactly, but we gave away, this church gave away $36,682 last year. That makes me smile when we can do that. We increased, I think, about $8,000 over the previous year. We gave it away somewhere. Our total income that you gave to the church, some way, I don't know what caused it, but it came in $248,194.55. Or that's what we put on our report. And I say, great, you have responded. But I'm coming this morning to say, keep it up, folks. You're doing good. You're doing just what God wants you to. And dig a little deeper. You're going to have an opportunity to give songs to Bethel College in another month, I think, if you'd like to. I've been processing that. But anyhow, $36,000 for 150 people to give away. That's pretty good. Pat yourself on the back a little bit, but don't get too proud. I thank you, and I believe the Lord thanks you, and He has provided every bit of it that we would have to give. Concerning the tithe, where are we? God spoke through Moses, instructing to His people concerning their giving unto Him and His work a portion of the fruits of their labor. That's what it was, the fruits of their labor. You heard it read. There are other references to the first fruits are Exodus 23, Exodus 34, Leviticus 27, Numbers 18. You have in your hand all these references are stuck in your bulletin, and you can, this is your homework if you'd like some. Matthew Henry, I've used him since, I guess, the late 70s when somebody gave me a concise book of his commentary on the whole Bible in one volume, and it's pretty concise to get it all in one volume, though it's a thick volume. And I looked at what he said about this passage, and I think, got to share that. He's good. And Henry says of this passage that we're talking about here, here is a good work that is ordered to be done. Not requested, not invited. Now, we're always inviting people because I'm not God, so I give you opportunities. God said, let it happen. He ordered it to happen. A good work ordered to be done. What it is presenting a basket of the first fruits to God. Basket of first fruits. Do it every year. And then if you read 12 and following, there was another offering to be given every 3 years. It just gets more and more. Seems you never get through. But God had been good to these people, just like He's been good to us. When a man went into the field or vineyard at the time when the fruits were ripening, his responsibility was to go through there and mark that which he observed to be most forward or most beautiful and most productive looking and stand out front. The first fruits. And he was to lay this by for the first fruits offering. And it was wheat. It was barley. There were grapes. There were figs. There were pomegranates, there were olives and dates. The produce that was grown in that area, or that would be grown in that area, where they were. Now, whatever our produce is, be it, I grew up in cotton country. Around here it was tobacco country, and corn and soybean country. And whatever the produce is, we're called upon to give of it. I lived in southeast Arkansas one summer, and the people near Pine Bluffs did rice farming. And if you never got much offerings through the whole year, I understood, in that church. I was just there one summer. But the offerings were pitiful throughout the whole year. But when the produce was gathered in, Mr. Chambliss raised a lot of rice, and he'll bring a large offering. And the, I forget the other names. Mr. Chambliss's boys and others, they'll bring their large offering as their gifts out of their produce. And I guess they had gone and marked it for the Lord. And that some of each were to be put in a basket and brought in and presented to God in the place that God would choose. This was before the temple was built. This was before the people had even got into the promised land. And it was years after they got into the promised land before the temple was built. It says, come and wherever God chooses, bring this offering in. And there was a tabernacle first, tabernacle on the way, a tent type of worship center. And they'd put it, take it down and move it. And then when they got to the place of their residence, Israel, the promised land, the land of Canaan, many names that refer to it, they would build a temple, and King Solomon built this temple. That would be the place. But until then, they would take it wherever God would choose for them to place it. Matthew Henry says that from this law that we may learn, and he points out three things, and let me just look at them. To acknowledge God as the giver of all. People say, well, I worked hard for this. Well, where did you get the strength to work for it? You know, that came from God. Where did we get the air to breathe? Where did we get the food to eat? Etc., etc., etc. I worked hard for it. Sure you did. I did too. But God is the giver of all of it. He gave us the sunshine. He gave us the rain. And if you want to try to raise a garden without the help of the Lord, if you want to even walk through the day without the help of the Lord, forget it, because we won't have any air, will we? God gives us all things, all good things. He created the world and the earth, and it was good. Things that support us, things that sustain us, things that comfort us in our natural life or in our physical life. And we don't have to look around much. Just in our church, the comforts of the church, that everything that we could, more than we ever dreamed of here on this corner, I guess. More than we ever dreamed of. But in our homes, our jobs, etc. Verse 1 points out that the Lord has given us a land. And verse 1 says, the land that the Lord is giving you. Verse 8, the giver of the tithe is to confess before God that he was in a land that God brought him to. And then in verse 9, the recitation that was supposed to be offered when the offering was presented. He brought us to this place, a place of milk and honey. And to bring the offering, it was to stand up and acknowledge what God had done through the ages. And the saying there went back to Jacob. Jacob was the Aramean. How do you pronounce that word? Aramean. That had wandered around. And then he had 12 sons. And there was a famine in the land that he was living in the land of Canaan. They went off to Egypt. And the person bringing the offering was to come back and recite this paragraph concerning our father went down to Egypt. There were just a few, and we think there were 66 or thereabout. They came back, and there were 600,000 men. If they didn't count the women and children, 1,200,000, millions and millions. You know my math is not good, so I don't even need to go any further on that. And I wonder that today, can we apply this to our life, even where we started and where we've gotten to? Some of us older folks can remember the type of house we lived in. Those houses that were primitive. Being primitive because they had no facilities inside. You had running water, but that meant running to the well and getting a bucket of water and running back because mother was saying, I need a bucket of water. So you had running water that way. That was the only running water you had. And the facilities, that bathroom that we all... Oh, we don't know what it's like to live without it. But I remember, and it was a path in a little shed. and the clothes on our back, and the automobiles that we drive, maybe even the bed. I remember going to stay with my grandmother. They had a straw or a shuck mattress. You ever sleep on one of them? Oh, yeah, you haven't lived, have you? Who slept on a shuck mattress? Corn shucks or a straw mattress? Am I the only one person? Two, three, four, five, okay. But we were a little better off than our grandparents were in house and in furniture. They held on to that stuff because I guess they thought it was godly or something. I don't know what it is. How did we get here? Did we earn it? I don't want to take credit for it. Is it God, our own efforts, or is it God's blessings? And I'm going to say it's, in my life, it's God's blessings. And then the second thing we can learn from this passage is to deny self. How many of you ever have gone to a garden and dug potatoes when they were little bitty, about that big? A few of you have. Fresh potatoes. Have you ever eaten any potatoes any better than that? The first fruits. And you take a fork out of the kitchen, or maybe we had a special fork, don't know what happened to it, a special fork that you go out and dig under. You wouldn't ruin the tree, the plant. You'd dig over to the side, get in there, and pull a few of those little potatoes off. New potatoes. First fruit potatoes is another word for them. Right, that's what we're talking about here. And those first green beans. You plant the green beans, and you think they'll never come in, that you pull them. And put those... they come in and you pick them and you snap them and you string them and snap them and nothing better. Right? First fruits, well, we always ate that. But you know what the law says? Supposed to give them to the Lord. And the priest got what was offered to the Lord. He took that home with him. Okay. I remember those new potatoes. Rather than eat them, these belong to God. I wonder, can we resist eating those new potatoes? We don't even raise them in our house. And then the third thing that we can learn is to give God the first and the best that we have. What about our life? Let's think about teenagers. You teenagers. Consecrate your life. Consecrate your youth. Consecrate the prime of your life. Or all of us, consecrate the prime of our time to the service and the honor of God. Bring God your first fruits. A song says it so beautifully, and I went and made a copy if I can locate it now. It says, actually it's on the back of my challenge to the people. Oh, wrong one. Give of your best to the Master.
What an unprepared preacher. I've misplaced it.
Does anybody remember the song, Give of Your Best to the Master? It's not in here, Mike. Give of the strength of your youth. It may be in the old grammar. Give, that's okay. Give of your best to the Master. That's the message there. Give of the strength of your youth. And the message goes on and on concerning giving our best to the Master. You know, in this recitation from verse 5 to verse 10b, I think it is, 10a, I think it is, even the words to be said as the offering was to be brought. And remember, as the offering is presented, God, you've been so good to us through the years. Here is our offering. And then we find the word rejoice in that passage. And it's not a sad occasion that we're going to lose this. We're just giving it to the Lord because He's given us so much. A joyful experience, if you will. Now, we talk about giving to the Lord, but the first thing God wants is us. You and me. God gave the ultimate sacrifice, His Son, Jesus. And Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice, His life, that we might be His. That we might be saved from our sin. He paid for the sin. He took it away. He removed it from us. He settled the account. He did that when he died on Calvary. His brother Bennett often says one Friday evening or afternoon about 3 o'clock, right outside Jerusalem. And I believe when we comprehend what God has done for us in and through Jesus, then we will feel that we can't do enough for Him. We can't give enough to show our gratitude. The song is 367. And it's really a commitment song. It's saying, God, here I am. I'll go where you want me to go or wherever you lead me. If it's self-sacrifice, you've done so much for me, I'm going to sacrifice something for you. My life. My all. 367, let's stand and sing verse 1 and 4.
Jesus Christ, we offer our prayer. Amen.